This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Hey, everybody. Jim Inman here joining you on your Friday night or Saturday morning, depending on how your weekend is shaken out and if you have recuperated from the Yacht Rock review at the Bluebird on Thursday night. And I that's my kind of music. That's all I'm going to say. Glad you are a part of us here on the Friday evening edition of the Bloomington Review as we wrap up the week. And my gosh, what a change in the world in the last 7 days. Last week, when we were on briefly on the air, so to speak, because of the high school boys basketball sectionals, it was the cold, it was the snow, and all of that other stuff. Last week, we had the crazy Tuesday, Wednesday night, whatever it was, where the rain and snow, or excuse me, the snow and ice came through, and commutes were taking 4 and 6 times longer than normal, and all of that. And then now we've got rain this weekend, but Wednesday night, Thursday night, I mean, beautiful out. It's spring is really just around the corner. In fact, just a few more days, and it's legitimately spring. But of course, in Indiana, spring break has to start in the winter season, because that's how we do things sometimes in Indiana, but that's okay. Glad you are part of the show, and might be hearing from Mr. Piller in a little bit. The poor guy has, apparently we've just run him off. I think he's fed up with me and all of the work that we ask him to do. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But hopefully he will, excuse me, be back in the studio in just a little bit. Today is Friday the 13th. Did that mean that you have triskaidekaphobia? I think is how it's pronounced. It's the fear of the number 13, triskaidekaphobia. And I remember having to do a report on that in junior high. I don't know why, but it is Friday the 13th. If you're superstitious, if you saw a black cat walk in front of you, or if you broke a mirror, don't walk under ladders, things like that, throw some salt over your left shoulder or whatever the phrase is, whatever the thing is that gets you out of your bad luck situation. Hopefully everything is going well for you today on the 13th. Saturday the 14th. Doesn't sound like a big deal, but actually, if you are a math geek, like a lot of people are, 3:14, March 14th, 3.14. That is Pi Day, P-I Day, that number 22 divided by 7 and 3.14, that's on Saturday. So the math geeks out there, if you see things about it's Pi Day or if restaurants are offering pie or whatever the case may be, that's why it's going on. So that way you can show your intelligence if you're unaware of what pi, P-I, is. And there you go. So that's your lesson. That's all we're going to do today. Thank you very much for coming to class. I'm just kidding. Lots of stuff for you to talk about. There's been a lot of things going on in the local scene over the last several days, so we'll hit that up in news in just a little bit. And then later on in the show, Glass had an interview with Todd Young, and wanted to replay parts of that for you as well, because I think it's an important thing to hear and listen to as we start getting in towards primary season here in the next few weeks. So Todd Young, an encore replay of his interview with Mike Glasscott later on in the show. IU basketball, you know, it's been a big deal. There's been a lot of news. There's been a lot of discussion about that. We're in the Big Ten tournament. We're going to talk about that in sports because that's the place to do it. Hopefully we will have enough time to expand on some of that beyond just what the scores are and things, but we'll talk about that more later on in the program. And also kudos out to IU baseball. They're 10-4 right now. They've got a game going on probably still right now out of the Bart Kaufman, but we'll talk more about that here in just a little bit. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. That's all of your information about our program. Check that out over there. Post, like, follow, click, whatever you want to do. Like us over there on Facebook. And, of course, WGCLradio.com has all of your information as well, not just about the Bloomington Review, but also about Your Money with David Hayes, Glass in the Morning, In the Zone, Joe Smith Reports, All Your Weather All the Time, all of that over at WGCLradio.com. Plus, you can stream the shows for free, so go over there and like things and tune in. Quick announcement before we take a break. Also, we've been plugging this for the last couple of weeks, but next week, because we are getting into March Madness official, we're going to have all of your tournament coverage right here on WGCL. You have to dial into this. You got to be on 96.1 FM or AM 1370. You can't stream this online. You've got to be listening on your radio. But things are going to begin Thursday at noon. That's March 19th. And we're going to be preempting our local broadcasting that day. I heard David Hayes last night saying that he would not be on next Thursday evening because of NCAA basketball. But we're going to have all of your coverage right here on WGCL. And we're going all the way from the first tip to the national championship game on Monday, April 6th. There's details about this over at WGCLradio.com. But again, you got to be dialed in on your radio. You got to go old school on this. Get out the rabbit ears if you need to listen in. And especially if you're going to be listening in at work, get your radios ready starting this Thursday, March 19th. St. Patrick's Day is around the corner. Don't forget to get your green on as well. And it's a happening time in the calendar. And it's hard to believe that we're almost to April, which is almost, we're a quarter of the way through the year already. Crazy. Lots of things to talk about. Very glad that you're joining us. Thank you for tuning in last week for the Encore show, and much more to come. Stay with us. Love having you here on your Friday night or Saturday morning. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here on your Friday, March 13th. Or Saturday, March 14th, and spring break is literally here finally, everybody. And I know a lot of people are already headed out of town or are making plans to head out as we speak, literally, because they've got travel plans to Alabama, North Carolina, Florida, or some other exotic part of the United States, or maybe Caribbean cruise, I don't know, wherever they're going. Have a good time. Have a safe trip. But remember that often when you head out of town, the weather tends to look pretty darn decent locally. And it's not looking too shabby right now once we get through the next couple of days. There is a flood watch in effect for tonight, Friday night, through Saturday afternoon. Expecting about almost an inch of rain on Friday night, low around 46. Then on Saturday, more rain coming in the morning, high near 54. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 32, and then Sunday, sunny. When was the last time we had that opportunity to say that in the forecast? Sunny Sunday, high near 56. All your weather, all the time, right here, at WGCL and WGCLradio.com. Let's give you some local news here over the last week or so. On Thursday, Bloomington's former engineering project manager, Justin Wyckoff, has agreed to plead guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit fraud and 10 counts of wire fraud for his involvement in a street and sidewalk paving concrete conspiracy that bilked more than $800,000 from the city of Bloomington, according to federal court documents. The HT article this week said that Wyckoff's change of plea hearing, scheduled for Friday morning at 9 o'clock in a courtroom in the U.S. District Courthouse in Indianapolis, the judge could sentence Wyckoff from anywhere from 51 to 63 months in prison with 3 years of supervision to follow, according to a plea agreement that was signed by Wyckoff, his attorney, and members of the U.S. Attorney's Office late in February. The plea agreement also mandates Wyckoff pay a full restitution in the amount of $446,000+ to the victim of the case, which is all of us as part of the city of Bloomington. Now, no fines from the government will be handed down with the conspiracy and wire fraud charges, according to the agreement, because of the need to recover restitution for these offenses. Wyckoff's plea agreement calls for a forfeiture of all buildings, a garage, and properties at 623 and 627 High Street down in Bedford, and any and all property that has been already seized by the government. There was some interesting stuff on the south side the other night. A 48-year-old man barricaded himself in his house after threatening violence to his neighbors, South Rockport Road, about 8,000 block, and that's near Kirksville. This all took place Wednesday evening this week. The police report said no injuries were reported in the standoff with the Monroe County Sheriff's Office and the county's Critical Incident Response Team, the CIRT. This all lasted more than 4 hours. There were helicopters involved, a little bit of noise on social media even about this. The neighbors in the area told police the man's known for keeping firearms in his house, according to Sheriff Brad Swain. And then just before 10 p.m., the man exited the home after the response team deployed flashbangs. Do you know what those are? Those are the non-lethal stun grenades that distort a person's senses. And they also used a non-flammable form of tear gas in the house. More on that as we go. But the guns can be confiscated from someone's home if a person is deemed dangerous, according to Indiana law. And then the law also allows for a court hearing during which a judge determines if the guns should be returned to their owner or retained by police. Speaking of police, a kudos going out to City of Bloomington Police Officer Bill Abram. He scored a hat trick at the department's annual awards this week. He earned three top honors. He was named with Officer of the Year 2014, a Valor and Bravery Award, and a Merit Award this past Sunday afternoon in the council chambers at City Hall. Abram was involved in the incident. We talked about this a few months back in November when there was the sexual assault of the two women out on 12th Street. They were two Indiana University students where men had broken into the home, kicked in the door, and actually when the police arrived, shots were fired and exchanged. Abram fired back, returned fire with his service weapon. He struck one suspect in the arm and another suspect in the leg, was able to capture one of the suspects, and immediately gave medical assistance to the injuries of the suspect. Abram was also recognized for giving CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, to a man who was unresponsive after a possible drug overdose at an incident that took place back in April 2014. When you hear the drama in the world that goes on in some communities, and I'm not asking for opinions, I'm not saying one side's right or wrong, it's very nice to know that there are good people out there, there are good law enforcement officers, firemen, ambulance service, EMTs, our emergency crews. There are a lot of good people out there and deserve the respect that they have earned so hard. A couple other things here. Out in Ellensville, construction of Ellensville's new town hall could begin this summer as the town makes the final steps to purchase almost 50 acres of land next to the Ellensville Police Department. On Monday this week, the Ellensville Town Council approved borrowing $500,000 from the Utilities Department to pay for the initial purchase of the land as well as construction of the building. The loan would need to be repaid by February 23rd, 2016. You realize that's just shy of a year. A bond of $2 million will also be issued for the purchase and construction of the new town hall. There are a few other steps needing to take place in this project that began in December 2013 when town offices were forced out of the current town hall because of a flood. We all remember that crazy Christmas flood from a couple years back. Ellensville has also been in its current buildings for 50-plus years. The property will likely become a much bigger complex that includes the utilities department, a park, and even some public-private partnerships as well. So nice to see that happening in Ellensville. On the state side, there's a lot of lucky folks down in southern Indiana. There was a bus accident on Thursday. Doctors evaluating a bus driver for what they're calling a potential or possible cardiac or stroke-like conditions following the rollover crash Thursday morning on I-69 in southern Indiana. It sent the driver of the bus, as well as co-ed bowling team members and coaches from the Indiana Institute of Technology, to local hospitals. Police plan to spend the next couple of days or a few days continuing to reconstruct the accident scene using photos and computer software. The accident took place about 10:30 in the morning on Thursday, just north of Henryville. The bus overturned. It was carrying 21 people from Terre Haute down to the U.S. Bowling Congress sectional in Smyrna, Tennessee, according to the Indiana State Police. 12 victims were taken to the hospital. 10 were listed in good to fair condition. 2 were in serious after being examined as well. But fortunately, no fatalities in that situation. And finally, if you want to get a little bit of rock and roll, if you want to get a little bit of history, this may be the last time in the state of Indiana that this is going to happen. It's not confirmed yet, but it could be. After 21 years, according to our friends at the Indianapolis Star, Indianapolis may be returning to the good graces of the Rolling Stones. The last time the iconic band came to Indianapolis, more than 10,000 of 40,000 tickets were unsold in the RCA Dome. Now, how many of you remember the RCA Dome in downtown Indy? Industry insiders say the empty seats of 1994 left a nasty bruise on lead singer Mick Jagger's ego. However, website songmango.com They are speculating that Jagger, Keith Richards, Ron Wood, Charlie Watts, the whole Rolling Stones crew are going to be headed back to Indiana this summer. The rumor comes that the Rolling Stones are going to tour North America, and a July 4th appearance at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is looking likely. But again, this is all rumor at the moment, but it's a cool rumor. The band has announced no tour plans. Publicists cannot be reached for comment, you know, the usual kind of thing. But in an article in the Indianapolis Star back in 2004, a Pacers sports and entertainment vice president told the newspaper, Jagger holds an anti-Indianapolis grudge. The last time that the Stones played Indy and the RCA Dome didn't sell out, Jagger said he would never come back, and he's sticking to his guns. Would you think? I don't know. 1994, I was in high school, or just out of high school. I graduated that year. I've never seen the Rolling Stones in concert. I have friends who have, and it's an awesome show. And let's be honest, the Rolling Stones have been around 50-plus years. So if this opportunity comes up, you better take advantage of it. You better go check out the scene while you can, because eventually, I don't know, maybe they won't die. Maybe they'll just live forever like who knows who. So anyway, Rolling Stones coming to Indianapolis, hopefully around July 4th. And we'll have more on that here, as well as our good friends over at WTTS 92.3. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's get into our interview with Senator Todd Young, an encore of that with him and Mike Glasscott from earlier this week, plus plenty in sports, as well as the Big Ten tournament is off and running. We'll give you updates on that as well. Stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here joining you. And as promised earlier in the week, Mike Glasscott from Glass in the Morning had Indiana Senator Todd Young on the program talking about a lot of things that I think are very important. And I want to make sure that our listeners get a taste of this as well. Again, this is all available at WGCLradio.com. But take a few minutes to listen in on Glass's interview with Todd Young right here.
Joining us on the telephone is the 9th District Representative for the United States Congress here in the state of Indiana. It's Republican Todd Young. Todd, good morning. How are you?
Glass, I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, it's good to talk to you, and we appreciate your time, and we know how busy folks in your position are, and you are rocking and rolling here in the 9th District, and Congress and the government in general have been in the spotlight for a lot of right reasons and a lot of wrong reasons lately. Let's first dive in to talk about just how is Washington functioning these days, and what are you trying to do to make it better?
Well, you know, I mean, it's generally and popularly and I think correctly regarded as dysfunctional, and there's a lot of gridlock going on in Washington. It's not to say there aren't some things behind the scenes where common ground's being found, but, you know, per James Madison's vision in the Constitution, we've got all these checks and balances and separation of powers, which firstly makes it real difficult to move anything through our legislature and working with Congress. Working with the executive branch, rather. But beyond that, you know, there's a lot of dysfunction that ought not be occurring. And some of that has to do with egos and political calculation and rigid ideology, failure to kind of listen to the other side and so forth. But, you know, part of our job is also to stand on principle and to make arguments. And there's principled disagreement. You know, some folks want a larger government. The role of government in society is larger and more energetic than my own. And so, you know, we're hired not just to pass legislation, move bills, but also to make the arguments.
And now that you've been in this for a few years, did it meet your expectation, fall short of your expectation, or is it a little bit cooler than you thought it would be getting involved at the first time?
You know, cool is not the first word that would come to mind, frankly.
I thought I'd try to sneak that one in there.
You know, it's always, you know, it's a privilege and honor and so forth to be able to serve. And it is, it's incredibly sort of stimulating, the job, you know, being able to go out there and spend a lot of time with constituents. And a lot of my colleagues are great people on both sides of the aisle. So I enjoy all that that dialogue and fellowship and so forth. You know, the failure to get things done is at times frustrating, but I do remind myself that our system is sort of designed that way. We're supposed to deliberate and think before we act, which helps to contain the size of government and protects people's liberties in the best of circumstances. So, you know, by and large, when I look at the whole job, I'm able to spend two-thirds of my time back here as opposed to in Washington, and that was a big surprise. And that helps me stay connected, not just to my constituents, but to my kiddos and my family. And I'd say, you know, it's even better than I thought it was going to be.
Excellent. Our guest this morning is Todd Young. He's the 9th District United States Representative here. Everybody knows it's Brown, Clark, Crawford, Floyd, Harrison, Jackson, Johnson, Lawrence, Monroe, Morgan, Orange, Scott, and Washington County. So it shows you the South Central Indiana part of that. When you're,
you just did it off the top of your head.
I know, that was really good.
I try to do it alphabetically. I don't know if I got them all correct. But here in South Central Indiana, you've got a larger, the territory is large in itself, where not everybody perhaps is on the same page, whether it's economically or religiously, yeah, or faith-based or whatever it is. How do you find the balance talking to all that to bring maybe a core of ideas to Washington to get things accomplished?
Yeah, well, you know, without sounding too academic about it or too constitutional or lawyerly, I really do. I look at the Federalist Papers. I think they have the best vision in there. As James Madison put it, the role of a representative is to refine and enlarge the views of their constituents. So, you know, it's not to just echo the popular sentiments at a given period of time. That wouldn't be leadership, and I don't think any of my constituents would consider that leadership. But it is to stay in very close touch with them and consider what their challenges and aspirations are in life and see how we can help. And then I phone up on whatever issue of the day I can to the best I can through reading and hearings and consulting with constituents and experts. And in the end, I cast votes of conscience, what I think will be in the best interest of my constituents and the country more generally. And I come back and I explain my votes, the popular ones, the unpopular ones, the ignored ones, and try and stimulate interest in ones that are more important. And seems to be working pretty well, ultimately, I think, over a period of time. Though people may not agree with you on every vote in every circumstance, you do earn some trust. And that's really the best thing you can have in your representative.
Well, and like you said, the fact that you're spending two-thirds of your time back here in your district means you're staying in touch with what people want and talking to them. And that's awesome. So, and kind of surprising to me. So one of the activities, you just reintroduced a social impact financing bill. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so this all started, thank you so much for asking about that. This all started from my recognition, well before I got in government, that most of the best ideas in our society, resolving social ills and challenging pathologies we have in our communities, seemingly intractable ones, right, like long-term unemployment and homelessness and trying to get more people adopted out of foster care and so on and so forth. The real solutions are bottom-up solutions. There are social entrepreneurs out there that start not-for-profit organizations. There are people working out at churches. There are local governments sometimes that develop real creative approaches that are adapted to their own populations. And so my thought was, how can we scale these things up if there's a real strong evidence base that shows these things work? Well, we're broke. I think all your listeners know that. We're about $17 trillion in the hole right now, so there's not a lot of money floating around.
A couple trillion here, a couple trillion there. Now we're talking about some real money.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to think outside the box as it were.
Does that tie into to what we're doing here in District 9? Does that tie into what we're doing nationally, internationally? You have to check all those boxes, don't you?
Yeah, I absolutely do. So let's take it close to home here. Indiana has one of the highest rates of infant mortality in the country, and this is something the governor and others are working really hard to address, and there are a lot of reasons for it. But there are interventions, if you will, out there that help address these things, working in other states and communities. And so the idea would be to ask private foundations, high-net-worth individuals, other non-governmental entities to scale up these things that work in places like Bloomington, Indiana, or Indianapolis, or Lake County, Indiana, an area of high poverty, and so forth.
And I think the interesting part of this is the private versus the governmental angle with it, because who seems to be more efficient at running stuff?
I don't think
that's a hard question, but people don't seem to want to believe that or embrace that.
And who tends to care more, frankly? Somebody in Washington, D.C. in a big building who just responds to whatever incentives they have, how many checks did you send out, and so forth, or somebody who's operating out of a local church, who gets to know somebody in a personal way and kind of can tailor services to that individual's needs. And so the financing model would actually pay back the investors in these projects, the people who scale the stuff up, out of future government savings. So if you get somebody who's long-term unemployed back into the workforce, obviously you're not paying for their Medicaid, for their unemployment insurance, and other things. And you can pay back the investors a modest return on investment. And here's the really cool thing. You only pay them back if they're successful, if they meet some defined outcomes in terms of getting somebody reemployed. And then that philanthropist can redeploy the money to help more people.
So it's a system that keeps replenishing a system.
Yeah. It's kind of like a market within the social realm. And so we're getting a lot of support, even bipartisan support. But this is, you know, it sounds like a conservative idea. It is. But there's something here to please everyone and help our most vulnerable. And you know, that's something that we got a moral imperative to make happen.
Our guest this morning is Congressman Todd Young, Republican from District 9 here in Indiana. I like the bottom-up argument because I think the top is not going to solve all the problems. And when you talk about working it from the bottom up, the grassroots, the entrepreneur, how is government helping them get permits, get patents, get started up? Is the tax code too ridiculous? Are the market doors to the rest of the world too tightly shut? Where can you help that guy make a difference?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that litany of questions. Just say we need to reform the tax code, right? We live in a decentralized, networked world with a lot of increasingly well-educated, motivated, aspirational, creative people, and we need to harness their energies and their ideas. And one huge barrier to making that happen is our tax rates, firstly, that are too high, but perhaps even more importantly, just our ridiculously complex tax code, which advantages oftentimes the larger enterprises over smaller businesses, which is where the real job creation is. And compliance is mind-numbing for anybody who's tried to do their own taxes, you know, 14 hours a year on average per American household. So there's real room for improvement. We're trying to simplify the code in Washington. Hadn't been done since 1986. We're prepared to gore some sacred cows in the process and take on some special interests, and hopefully we'll have some success in the next couple of years.
Well, Congressman, we know you're very busy. We'd love to have you join us down the road if you get some free time, or if you're ever around in the area, stop by and say hello. And we can't thank you enough for your insight and time this morning.
Hey, your program's fantastic. Keep inviting me on. Have a great day.
I'm recording this. I've got that all written down.
And
briefly, I tell the story on here every now and again that we did grow up about 150 yards from each other. Can you just go ahead and confirm that so people stop harassing me on the street?
I can indeed. Yeah.
See, told you, Julia.
I cannot vouch for anything. Cannot vouch for anything you've done since then.
No. I'm not asking you to. I'm not going to call in my pardon just yet. I'll save that for a rainier day. Todd, we really appreciate the time. I'm glad we could have a laugh and get to some big time issues that are affecting the state and country as well. And we will be in touch, and we will have you back on the program.
Thank you both.
Indiana Senator Todd Young with Mike Glascott and Julie Warren there. We're going to take a break, come back with more, and get into sports and wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman. And finally, happily to say it, David Pillar in the studio.
Is this thing on? How do you do? You talk into this thing?
You have maxed out the sick bank till 2049.
Yeah, the sick bank is dry, brother. It's the only thing that's dry tonight.
I'm so glad to see you again, sir.
It's good to see you.
You've been missed.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. I've been catching up with you, on WGCLradio.com and a few times in the car. And it's basketball season, Jim. It's been the tournament season and had a nice run through the girls' finals. My officiating partner of 11 years, Marcus Debro, and I got to referee the 3A girls' state finals game. And
really?
Had a nice little run there, so it was all right.
Good.
So now it's boys' turn, and no games on Friday night, but tomorrow, of course, and just so I can stay in the habit, 9:30 Chalk Talk tomorrow morning, live from Barney Scott Gym over in Seymour, Bloomington South and Franklin Central in the first game of the regional. But we'll talk that later. We got IU hoops right now, Jim.
Now that you have made it back to the homeland,
yeah,
and come to WGCL, we're going to do two segments of sports because there's plenty to talk about.
My endurance may not allow that. I'm winded already just coming up the steps, and I took the elevator. How bad is that? So with that being said, I don't know if I
can.
We'll try to get two sports in. I'm going to stretch during the commercial break,
well,
if that's all right.
Let's talk about IU basketball right now, because if you're listening on Friday night, Right about now is when
don't change the channel. Don't change it, Joe.
I know. Check your Twitter. Check your Twitter. Check your Facebook. Keep listening to the show. But the IU game has started against Maryland.
Yes, we're not going to give you live updates in case anyone is DVRing the game or in case anyone's got it on pause so they can finish the Bloomington review tonight. But the Hoosiers are taking on Maryland. They came off a win against Northwestern. It's so funny, Jim. I think over the course of the season, IU probably has had about 10 or 15 must-win games this season. Last night was certainly one of them, beating a Northwestern team that beat them 2 weeks prior. So I think two-man show last night. I don't know how much of the game you got to see, if any, but James Blackman was on 25 points, 6 boards, 6 assists. Yogi Ferrell, if I'm not mistaken, I believe had 17 last night, but no one else in double figures. Glass always talks about, on the morning show, the balance scoring, the balance of attack that makes IU hard to guard and puts them in their best position. And you get away with that with Northwestern because they're probably a little underskilled. But Maryland, you're going to have to – we can't have 42 points from two players and then – whatever they got, 20 or 23 from the rest.
Well, I'm looking at IU Hoosiers right now, which our good friend Chuck Crabb every Friday morning directs everybody to go and check out. Hoosiers are number 7. They're 20-12. They're 9-9 in the Big Ten bracket. Number 2 seed, Maryland, they're 26-5. They're 14-4 in the Big Ten.
And yeah.
The action's up in Chicago tonight.
It is. And earlier today, Wisconsin dispatched Michigan. Michigan had a nice little run there. Getting a game against getting a game yesterday, I probably didn't think they were going to get. And then also another nice little run. Penn State came to an end. Penn State knocked off Iowa yesterday, and then won their first game, I believe, beat Nebraska on Wednesday. But 3 games in 3 days, and Purdue was down a large part of that game and has come back and did beat Penn State by 5. So Kentucky won again, so they're still undefeated and still rolling the table in the SEC tournament. But Hoosiers tonight, again, against Maryland, right now, probably there on your TV. But again, pause it, hit the DVR, stay locked in with us. And then tonight we got Michigan State and, forgive me, Jim, Ohio State, I think, perhaps.
Sounds
is the game
right.
Tonight, I think. So that's the next one. But the Hoosiers have got to get through this. This is not – I think they're in. I think if today, as long as everything else goes as it should, I think the Hoosiers are probably in. But winning today, I think they're definitely in. Losing today and then the wrong teams win. We've talked about this a little bit on the morning show, where Texas got beat, Texas A&M got beat, North Carolina State got beat. Some of these other major conference teams that were in the same boat as IU have gotten beat. So I think the Hoosiers, with a win tonight, are in good shape. With a loss, they're going to need some help because if some of these other teams win, they're going to be in trouble.
You mentioned about Yogi a little bit ago. He was named first team All Big Ten selection by the league's coaches and media earlier this week. He's the first Hoosier to win first team status since Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo back in 2013. 19 or 17 some points, I think you said last night. He's averaging about 16 points and 5 assists per game. So, I mean, he's got it. Blackman Jr. was selected all freshman team as well. And then Blackman and Troy Williams, honorable mention, all Big Ten. So we got good guys.
Decent representation, especially when you consider, again, they're all underclassmen, a freshman, a sophomore, and Yogi, a junior in that group. No seniors this year, Jim.
Right.
And so people forget that expectations are high, as they should be at this program, with this program. But at the same time, again, must win tonight against Maryland. If the Hoosiers lose to Maryland, I'm nervous, to say the least.
Well, we will see what happens. If you're catching us Saturday morning, you'll know the answer.
Yeah, you'll know the answer
to that question. More with sports and the wonderful Mr. David Piller. He is in the studio, and that makes me happy. Stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Bloomington Review with Dave Piller. I love the sound of that. It's very nice to see such things like that.
I just like being in the same room, Jim. It's my pleasure. But I have missed that song from sports, I got to admit.
Are you taking off next week for spring break? Should I just even ask now?
No, I plan on being here as long as we can make the schedule work. I think we're good. As long as I'm not glued to a television set watching the IU game or something else, I think.
Right.
You know, if you recall, Jim, we jump in the Wayback Machine here just for a second before we get in sports. It's been 2 years since my first guest appearance on the Bloomington Review during spring break of 2013. Yeah. So that was a great time and a lot of fun.
And I got news that our old friend Mr. Brian Callahan is going on an overseas tour spring and summer with his wife. So
that's outstanding.
I texted him and said I need photos and haven't heard back yet. And that's how Mr. Callahan feels about me. So I'm glad you're here.
I'm here, Jim.
I know it. Sports, much more to talk about.
Yeah, lots going on over on campus right now. Oh, yeah. IU basketball on the women's side of things, a small exodus. And you know what? People are going to read a lot into this. I think everyone needs to calm down for right now. We're three in. Megan Munsterman from Evansville left, announced she was leaving the other day. And then the big one earlier this week, Laren Brooks, has announced that she's leaving the IU women's basketball team. Even if you're not a huge follower of IU women's basketball, you know Laren because she has the tall hair with the red top and so
little kid in play look.
She really embraced the Hoosiers and you know what you've got is you've got some young ladies that committed to come to this university to play for a coach, and although we wish that kids would make their decisions based on the university, based on a graduate, based on a program, a degree program, based on some teammates. The fact of the matter is. Your coach is the person that you're committing to, and they commit to you. And obviously, with Coach Miller leaving at an odd time this season, the girls hung in this season, played hard, played well for the beginning of the season, then just ran into better competition. That's all there is to it. The other teams were better, more experienced. Again, you had a bunch of freshmen, a bunch of sophomores this year, and so now we kind of hang tight to see if anyone else is going to go out. But Terry Morin's going to come in, having a full summer to recruit. Going to be able to bring in her own players, going to be able to make sure that the people that are here fit in what she wants to do moving forward. But certainly want to wish Laren the best of luck wherever it's going to take her. She's going to go D1. I would just have to think she's a D1 player. So she will probably have to sit out a year before she transfers to somewhere else. But, again, best of luck to her. Also on campus, Jim, IU baseball won a couple games earlier this week. Eastern Michigan, I think, was the opponent. We're supposed to play today, but as you know, based on where your ARC was parked, it was in the back next to mine, so I rode in and got the spot next to you. rain out today, and so IU actually called that this morning.
Okay.
And they're going to play that three-game set against Cal State Fullerton, who's one of the top programs in the country. If you Google them, you're going to find many Major League Baseball players are alumni of the Cal State Fullerton program. So 1 o'clock, first game of the doubleheader tomorrow. Weather looks clean and clear for the most part, I think. Should be okay. Rain in the morning, but should be cleared up by the afternoon. Cal State Fullerton tomorrow, 1 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, out at the BART. 45 minutes after the first game, they'll play the second game. So probably looking at a 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then Sunday will be the third game of that one. Valpo's here middle of next week or early next week, so that's cool.
Keep an eye at IUHoosiers.com because we're under this flood watch right now. And so if the weather conditions stay the same, there might be a chance for another rain out tomorrow morning. Just check out IUHoosiers.com.
Yeah.
Announcement, IU Hoosiers men's swimming team. They've got 7 student-athletes going to compete at the 2015 Swimming and Diving Championships for the NCAA. That's coming up the end of the month. We've got one guy. His name is Steve Schmull, I think is how you pronounce it, S-C-H-M-U-H-L. And he's leading for IU in 3 different events. And then 4 of the swimmers qualifying, there's 7 of them, are freshmen or sophomore. So more about that in a couple weeks. The championships are March 26th through 28th out in Iowa.
Well, Ray Lewis is on it, does a great job with their program over there. So just more accomplishments and more recognition for that team.
Yeah.
And Jim, up the road, Pacers 8 in a row.
I know.
Was there the other night for the Milwaukee Bucks game, and they beat on the Bucks in overtime. That was a good win for them. They are now in the 7 seed overall in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Really?
So when Doug was here, last time I was here 5 or 6 weeks ago, we were really pretty worried about them with some injuries and some craziness that was happening there. But, yeah, they've kind of righted the ship. George Hill's back playing hard. And this win the other day, Paul George on the bench, Roy Hibbert on the bench. Supposedly George is coming back in the next week or two to be able to play. That would be huge. But good for the Pacers. That's good for everybody when they're doing well for the community. And then big news this week from the Colts. They brought on Frank Gore, Frank Gore is a University of Miami graduate, played at for the 49ers the last 6 or 7 years, has some 1,000-yard rushing seasons. The Colts just haven't had a healthy running back or a really functional running back. And so with his signing, they dumped Trent Richardson. They've called it a bad marriage. Richardson has already filed a grievance against the Colts for some salary repercussions because they fined him for some weight issues he had But the Colts also brought in Andre Johnson, again, a 1,000-yard receiver from the Houston Texans, one of their best players of all time to replace Reggie, and I'll let you talk about that one. But they brought in Trent Cole from the Eagles as well. So the Colts have brought in some nice players here. So
there's even a rumor circulating that next Super Bowl, Colts are already on the betting for being contenders. I mean, they're already.
Yeah, that's great.
So, but yeah, Reggie Wayne, who, as we know, has been let go from the Indianapolis Colts, he submitted a letter through the Indianapolis Star earlier today, just said he fulfilled a dream. He's bled blue since 2001 when he was the 30th pick in the NFL draft. Great things to say about the Irsay family, about the different coaches with the Colts, and the 317. Yeah. He is Indianapolis fan.
Class act all the way through.
I'm going to miss the Red G chants before every home game, but he thanks the Colts Nation. So I think he's going out on a positive note, and he knows he's loved.
Awesome for him. And again, March Madness in full swing here in the high school, but in the college ranks, it's going to be here on WGCL.
Mm-hmm.
All the tournament action is going to be carried on air. It won't be able to be streamed, so you're going to have to listen, tune in to 1370 on the AM dial 96.1. On the FM dial, and that coverage is going to start Thursday at noon, March 19th at noon. So we've got that going on. Sean Hannity preempted, Rush preempted, college basketball right here. We're going to be your local home for that, and we're also, remember, your local home for high school basketball, Chalk Talk, tomorrow morning, 9:30 in the morning. Joe Smith will be with J.R. Holmes, Barney Scott, Jim, as the Panthers take on the Franklin Central Flashes.
All right, we got 2 minutes left. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left in the show, and I'm very, very glad to have Mr. David Pillar back in the studio. But it is a wet weekend, Mr. Pillar.
It is, Jim. You got to find a place to park your ARC. If you're with us Friday night, rain, the total will be up about 3/4 of an inch to a full inch, depending on where you are. 46 is your temp tonight. Saturday, rain mainly before 9 a.m., high near 54. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 32. Then Saturday, sunny. In the high 50s, and then Monday, they're calling for a sunny condition, 0% chance of precipitation, easy for me to say, and
you're out of practice.
Nearly 70 degrees on Monday, Jim. That's going to be great for everybody that's going to be sticking around town.
But Glass threw a curveball in his discussion with Julie Warren this morning that the following weekend, there's a chance for flurries.
Oh.
It's 10 days out. It's,
but
yeah, I know.
I don't even want to hear that.
How are the kids today as spring break approached?
You know, we had some absences because people were getting a jump on getting out of town and getting those cheap flights and just hitting the road. If you've been north on 37/69, you know that it's a little tougher getting out of town in the afternoons right now. So people should take that into account if they are traveling. Otherwise, everyone was good. We had a great day, good pep rally, a lot of fun. Finished up iced up early in the week, and everyone made it out alive. So that was good. And hey, it is spring break time here in Bloomington, and we know how great Bloomington is in the summer. But spring break's also a pretty decent time.
It is.
So, again, a great opportunity to go out, see some local music, eat at a local restaurant, shop local, and have a good time and support this great community.
Please come back whenever you can.
I intend to. Basketball season is winding down, and so I miss you, and I will be back.
All right. Everybody have a safe, dry weekend. If you're headed out for spring break, be careful. And starting Thursday, we've got March Madness right here on WGCL. Have a great one. Bye-bye.